Hi, my name is Barbara Bryce, and if Ron has been in our writing group 8 years and I've been in it 9, because I remember when he came, but it's always hard to follow people in this group because everyone is so good. Anyway, my story is called No Stroke of Luck. I've had many recent conversations with my siblings about longevity. With 14 siblings in my family, we all hope that one day we can live long and healthy lives. My mother is 95, and besides scoliosis and having a fall several years ago, breaking her arm, she is in good health. My dad died at 71 of pancreatic cancer. Everyone knows that cancer can strike at any age. As all 15 of us are now over age 50, our question has become not if, but when. Who will be the first to succumb to a major illness or death event? This past weekend trumpeted a resounding warning. It began with a phone call from my sister Catherine on my cell phone during the movie Victoria and Abdul. "Turn off your cell phone," my friends hissed. Embarrassed, I fumbled to silence my phone, noting that the caller was my sister Catherine in Kansas. Returning to the car 2 hours later, I retrieved her text message. "Please call as soon as possible." "Hi, what's up? So sorry, I was at a movie," I told Catherine. "I figured you might be at a movie," she said. Her story began. "Something is going on with John. I don't know what it could be." After her story unfolded, I knew my brother-in-law was in trouble. Kate, John, and their two boys run a farm in north central Kansas. They raise pasture-fed beef, grain, soybeans, and alfalfa. The family Stiggy farm, circa 1885, has been passed down to John and Catherine. They have been running it successfully for the last 28 years. John had been cleaning out a barn, exposing himself to the accompanying dust and debris. He came to the house at lunchtime with a headache and some dizziness. Worried, Catherine took him to the health center in their town of Washington, a 10-minute ride away. The doctor ran blood work, ordered a CT scan, told John to take some aspirin, and sent him home. He ordered an MRI for the following afternoon. Catherine told me, "John is dizzy, holding onto the wall for support. He has a headache. His eyes are bothering him. I just don't know what's going on." So I said, "Do you think John might be having a stroke? Does he have trouble seeing? Does he have any numbness or trouble speaking? Any paralysis?" Catherine replied no, that he was now in their bedroom in a recliner and actually was feeling better after the aspirin. "I feel his symptoms may be related to cleaning the barn. Remember our brother-in-law, Terry, cleaning out the attic at one of his rental units?" she asked. "Yeah, I remember. Terry was supposed to have a virus that put him in the hospital, and he was ill for quite a while," I replied. I assured her that I would have my husband, Dave, a physician, call as soon as I met him at the restaurant for dinner. Dave called Catherine and felt that it was probably some kind of virus based on the information Catherine had given him. The blood work and CT scan would probably indicate a diagnosis. Catherine was to call Dave if there were any changes in John's status. I texted Catherine early the next morning, Saturday. "How was John's night?" She called and replied frantically, "I'm taking John to Manhattan ER. He is getting worse. I'll get back to you later." After more blood work, a urinalysis, and a repeat CT scan, John was admitted to the hospital. It was only after an MRI was done that John was found to have a stroke at the base of his brain, a left medullary infarct. A small thrombus or blood clot was preventing blood supply to John's brain, depriving it of oxygen, causing brain cells to die. His headache, eye problems, and weakness on his left side were the direct result of this interruption of blood flow. We were incredulous. A stroke? My husband felt that a grave diagnosis had been missed by the Washington, Kansas physician. If there was any suspicion of a stroke, there are universal guidelines and treatment. The 5 symptoms of stroke include trouble speaking and understanding speech, paralysis or numbness of face, arm, or leg, trouble seeing, headache, and loss of balance. There is an acronym called FAST, F-A-S-T, that laypersons can use as a guideline. F is facial drooping, A is arm weakness, S is slurred speech, and T is for time, meaning call 911 immediately. John had had at least 2 of these symptoms, we found out. He did not just have dizziness, but trouble walking. His vision was blurred. His complaint before Catherine took him to Manhattan was discomfort at the base of his skull. It would have been as simple as a phone call to any stroke center or large ER for this physician to discuss John's symptoms and ask for advice. An ambulance ride with John being transferred to a stroke center would have allowed the necessary treatment to reverse his stroke. A clot-busting IV drug called TPA, or tissue plasminogen activator, could be given within 4.5 hours. Given within this time frame, it is highly effective. We felt that the physician should have suspected stroke and have acted immediately, not have sent John home with aspirin and an appointment for an MRI the following afternoon. My brother Mark is a radiologist who had been out of town. Upon hearing these events, he was livid. This is unconscionable. At the least, this is benign neglect. At the most, this is gross malpractice, a blatant misdiagnosis. I can't believe any doc would miss this. There are universal guidelines. The crucial time had passed, and John was not a candidate for TPN nor for any other method of removing the clot. John spent several days at the hospital in Manhattan and is now in rehab. He still has some vision problems, but his gait is getting better with the help of rigorous physical therapy. He is strong and in good shape, physical shape for a man of 70. He has a positive attitude. While he is sorely missed by both his sons, Pete and Ian, during this busy time of harvest, he is determined to beat this. Ian, his oldest son, is getting married in 1 week. Catherine visits him daily, driving the hour to the hospital, keeping him informed and asking John questions about running the farm that only John can answer. She is beside him every step of the way. Their daughter Helen is arriving shortly from Denver to lend emotional and physical support. Many people do survive strokes. Those that do best get immediate treatment within 4.5 hours. We are hoping and praying that John recovers well. While not a sibling, we feel that this was one of our extended family to recently have had a near-death defying experience. The blast of the trumpet has been heard.